atrocities. Political and diplomatic initiatives and démarches which you're pursuing, I'm addressing those, the Herrero and Nama here today, with the German government. But what we're seeking is a form of legal redress, and in particular through the bilateral investment treaty between Namibia and Germany, and I might come to that in a moment. The extermination of the Herero and the Nama is often called, rightly, the first genocide of the 20th century. It's also referred to as Germany's forgotten genocide. And in fact, there's an excellent book here, The Kaiser's Holocaust, by David Olusoga, who's here today. But in fact, 1904 was not so long ago as to be an event which is lost in the mists of time, which can be written off, if you like, along with other historical injustices done in colonial times. A child who died in 1904, in the 1904 genocide, could have lived into this century. And David was saying earlier, he's actually met people who were in concentration camps in Namibia who were alive even only a few years ago. And in 1904, we were already in the era of international law, public international law, and the basic dictates of humanity. In that there was the 1899 Hague Convention in force already for 5 years, to which Germany was a party, which contained the Martins Clause, which said this: until a more complete code of the laws of war is issued, the high contracting parties think it right to declare that in cases not included in the regulations adopted by them, populations and belligerents remain under the protection and empire of the principles of international law as they result from the usages established between civilized nations, from the laws of humanity, and the requirements of the public conscience. So when the annihilation of the Herero was ordered, Germany, as a signatory to the 1899 Hague Convention, was subject to the law of civilized nations and to the empire of international law. There's been much debate as to whether the road from Windhoek led to the death camps of Treblinka and Auschwitz via the Armenian genocide and the oft-quoted comment of Hitler, who remembers the Armenians. Similarly, the forgotten genocide arguably made it more easy to commit later genocides in the 20th century. And it was, of course, Hannah Arendt's thesis in The Origins of Totalitarianism that racist colonialism and its brutal ways returned to Europe in the form of fascism in the 1930s. But then again, colonial atrocities existed both before and after the 1904-1905 genocide. For example, in the Philippines, the United States, between 1899 and 1902, killed up to 1 million civilians, a sixth of the population. But what's unique about Namibia is the explicit Vernichtungsbefehl, the annihilation, extermination order which was issued, and the ruthlessness with which it was pursued. And so I imagine to the Herero and Nama, it doesn't matter perhaps whether the genocide came, where it came from, or what it led to. What matters is what's happened to them. And it was a genocide, pure and simple. As I said, Van Trotter issued the Vernichtungsbefehl, extermination order, and stated categorically that the order was to kill men, women, and children. And that based on racist ideas of supremacy. And so far, that genocide has not been adequately recognized, adequately redressed, or adequately compensated. It fits the definition of genocide, as I say, 100%, not just killing members of the group, but deliberately inflicting on the group conditions of life calculated to bring about its physical destruction. That is, pushing the whole of the Herero and the Nama into the desert, where even if they weren't killed by bullets, they were bound to die. And it succeeded to the extent that it killed, I think it's something like 80% of the population. And those historical wrongs continue to the present day, in that the land which belonged to the Herero and the Nama, and where their communal graves are, remain in the hands of the remain expropriated and in the hands of the descendants of those who committed the expropriation. So we consider that legal means exist, as I say, through bilateral investment treaty between Germany and Namibia, to redress this. And it's perhaps ironic because BITs are usually serve the interests of, if you like, Western countries, Northern countries, as a way to protect their investments in the South. And it's fitting, therefore, if the investment treaty mechanism is now turned to human rights purposes and to serve the higher goal of finding redress for the historical wrongs of a terrible genocide. And that's what we intend to discuss today. I'll perhaps end just by, for those of you who weren't at today's meeting at Parliament, by just reading one section which Lord Steele read out from the Blue Book, just to give a flavour of what it contains. And he read from the account of Samuel Carrico, son of Daniel Carrico, who said this: "A new general named Von Trotter came, and he ordered that all Hereros were to be exterminated, regardless of age or sex. It was then that the wholesale slaughter of our people began. That was towards the end of 1904. Our people had already been defeated in battle, and we had no more ammunition. We saw we were beaten and asked for peace, but the German general refused peace and said all should die. We then fled towards the sandveld of the Kalahari Desert. Those of our people who escaped the bullets and bayonets died miserably of hunger and thirst in the desert. A few thousand managed to turn back and sneak through the German lines to where there were water and roots and berries to live on." So, and that's the book is full of passages of that nature. So what I propose to do is...